Welcome back to a new episode of Real Talk About Feminism podcast. I'm Haley.
I'm Mackenzie.
And we're excited.
We say that every episode, but we are excited.
We are excited.
Thank you for listening and for being here.
Yes, thank you for being on this journey with us. Fair warning, I might cry this episode, so get your tissues ready if you are a sympathy crier.
But it's okay. It's going to be a heavy episode, but I actually think it'll really help a lot of people.
Yes.
And that's I think it'll help you a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be good. A lot of good knowledge shared, a lot of good tips. Before we start, we're not going to banter for too long, you guys. But the scariest thing happened right before this. Have you guys seen those like videos where like someone will put a Snapchat filter on another person and then the filter shows up on a second thing, but there's no one there, so it's like a ghost. Just happened to Ken's.
It just happened. I have a ghost to my right.
He's joining currently. Maybe. I don't know. We don't know. But yeah, I will post the video on the story because that was so freaky.
I'm literally terrified. Honestly, this is leading me to believe that I have a ghost following me. Because very recently, I get back home from work and my closet door is open. My shoe drawer is open. A couple of my drawers are open. And clothes are like tossed around.
Yeah, clothes are tossed around like on the bed, tossed around in the drawer.
And here's the thing. I put all my stuff away before I leave for work. Like my room is clean so that when I come home from work, I have a nice clean room to come back to.
And I walked past at one point.
I had my door closed.
I walked past at one point. The room is freezing cold. And in the middle of the day, and I literally thought, did Ken's come home and change or something? Because it looked like someone had gone in a hurry and changed real quick and then left.
And no, but literally my room was freezing too. And like I had told you that the day before, like it was so cold.
Yeah. But then I told you that night when you got back, you were like, did Ivan get in my room? Or you asked me like, did you open my door? Because I think Ivan shuffled my stuff around.
Ivan is one of our roommate's cats.
And I was like, no, I was like, I thought you came home midday because I told you, I was like, I was surprised that you left all your clothes out like that. Like you
I was like, I didn't. So it's like it's either terrifying. Somebody like one of our roommates was like in my stuff, which I weren't. Don't really think no. would happen. So either that or, you know, we'll just taper over that. Just leaving it anyway, I have the shivers right now. So
there might be a third person with us right now. We don't know. Anyway,
let's stop with this.
Okay, you're like, I'm actually getting terrified. Scared. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to go into my obsession. How about
that? Okay. Yeah. Positive vibes.
Okay. So my obsession for this week is reading. And I mentioned like, I've talked about some downsides with my job, but something I really like is that I have been able to read a lot more, which is something that I liked doing as a kid, and I've been able to like incorporate that into my life now. So I really like that.
That's the opposite for me. It's actually funny because today my boss, like he put in our work chat with the team, he was like, hey, this is a book suggestion, really great, like about managing projects and everything.
No, that's boring.
Right, but you know our company, like they are obsessed with reading
books. They're obsessed with books.
He sends that in the chat and he's like, if anyone is interested in getting a copy, like please reach out to me. Everyone on the team said, I'll have a copy.
So you have
except for me and one other guy. And I swear now that other guy's on vacation, so he's not saying anything, obviously, but I literally was like, I'm not about to be fake and pretend like I'm going to read that. Because I'm not a book reader.
No.
And I didn't want to be like, oh, like I was thinking of saying like, oh, I'm not a big reader. Like I'll get it on Audible. I don't have an Audible account.
But also like, just don't, you're not going to read it.
Exactly. But everyone else was saying that. So all day I was like waiting for the other guy. I was like, I swear if he says something, like whatever. But now it's the weekend. Like it's gone.
No, it's past. Your chance is gone if you want to. It's different if like, work is suggesting a book,
right?
A boring book.
Yeah,
if you get to choose your own books, that's awesome.
But even still, like I love the idea of reading, but like I'll get a few pages in and that's it. And I feel like not recently, I haven't read a book recently, but this year all the books I've read are like self-help. Like
I mean, that's still reading though.
You know that book Forgiving What You Can't Forget? Like that's a
the
really
one
great
you
book
gave to me.
Yeah,
I should read that.
Yeah, it's a great book. So it's like all like healing stuff. Like I was reading this book, Single on Purpose, which was a good book. But yeah, I was like reading self-help, not like fantasy and stuff, which is fun. Mm-hmm. Did you say what your book was about that you were reading?
The book that I read was called Wired in Love.
Oh.
And it was kind of like an autobiography, but also like a factual book, which is something I don't normally gravitate towards. But I mm-hmm. saw it on the shelf at the library and I was like, you know what? This looks cool. I'll try it because I want to try different genres. It was really, really good. Quick read. I learned a lot. And it was about a love story. And it was very cute.
Fun. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. What's your obsession?
My obsession, very simple, is just the show Modern Family. I have rewatched it like 5 times this year. Okay.
You know those TikToks where it's like, I'm fine, there's nothing to worry about. And then it's like rewatches Modern Family 5 times.
Well, just because it's such an easy background show. And I don't think I've rewatched the entire thing 5 times this year, but I skip around like, and I'll rewatch the same seasons over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just like an easy show and I don't know. It's good in the background.
Right. It's a good comfort it's funny. Show too. Yeah.
And I just like watching funny things. Like because I recently rewatched Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt for like the 20th time, but I finished that. So I was like, well, I guess it's time to rewatch Modern Family. Because
mm-hmm.
I tried to get into New Girl when Sydney was here. We watched it. And I've watched a few episodes, but I just fall asleep to it. Like, that's my nap time show.
I know. I can't.
I honestly think, what's the main girl?
Jess.
She is so freaking annoying.
I think she's funny.
No, I think she's so annoying. Everyone I've talked to, you either think she's so funny or you think she's so annoying.
She's just really quirky.
I just think she's so annoying in Pick Me. And I just can't get into it. Like, I have tried. I've watched, like, a good, like, 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get into it.
That's enough episodes to have an opinion. I have tried. I'm on like season 2, I think. I also just can't really get into it.
Yeah.
Like it's funny, but like every time I'm like, should I watch it? It's like I don't want to watch a show that I'm dreading.
I actually put it on if I want to fall asleep. Like no joke. Because when I'm taking it's a nap, funny, I like though. To have something on in the background. I just don't think it's funny.
Well, okay. I mean, that's fine. Like, I can't get into it either, so whatever.
Yeah. But that's my obsession, Modern Family. Anyways.
And you were rewatching Arrested Development the other day.
Oh my gosh, that show is so funny. Oh yeah, go right there.
I haven't watched it enough. You and Mom love Arrested Development.
I just love Tobias Funke.
He's so funny. So Uncle Ian as well.
And then I watched Alvin and the Chipmunks because I was like in, I don't even know what that actor's name is, but he's so funny. Anyways.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
We said we went banter, so let's get into it. Haley's going to take this episode away, and I'm just going to be here for support.
All right. I wanted to talk about this because I think anyone who knows me knows that, like, I would call myself an activist.
Mm-hmm.
I've always done a lot to, like, raise awareness about pediatric cancer, and I've done a lot to raise awareness about sexual assault. So, for me, the anniversary, at the time I'm recording this, the 2-year anniversary of my sexual assault is coming up. And it is this month. It's in November. And in preparing for this month's topics, I was thinking, like, I'm not going to do, like, a big social media thing like I did last year. That was obviously huge. We can share, like, the post that I did last year on the story just so everyone can see it.
Do you want to briefly talk about what you did?
I just wrote a letter to my sexual assaulter and to BYU Idaho, the school that I was at when it happened. And I, like, read it on video and posted it. And I had so many people tagging the school, reposting it. They did, like, a news story about it, which was really great. Like, I actually thought it brought a lot of awareness. But it actually, like, gained a ton of traction, especially in that small town. Like, it gained a ton of traction. And I definitely changed some things fundamentally, like, with the Title IX program and with the school, which is a good thing. That's what the goal was. But there's still a lot of work to be done. Anyways, so that's what I did last year. And me and Kenz were just talking about it this year. And we were like, I was saying, I want to do something and I want to bring awareness to it, but I don't want to do like this big social media thing again. Cause like I did that last year.
It was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is a lot. Like, mm-hmm. because I had for months after people in my DMs, like I had hundreds of people in my DMs and I tried to reply to everyone. Cause I'm like, these people are taking the time to share their stories. So I tried to reply to everyone. And then it just got, like, overwhelming. Like, I'm just reading over and over again. The same thing happened to me at BYU Idaho, and the church didn't do anything. Or the same thing happened to me when I was growing up. Like, it's just, like, really hard. So we decided, let's talk about the healing journey. And I want to share some things that I just never really found resources for that I think will be really beneficial. And trigger warning, I am going to, like, get into it, especially with, like, intimacy after sexual assault. Because that's been the biggest thing for me. I'm not going to get too graphic or anything. But, like, I think it is important to talk about. So, that's just a little trigger warning. If you are a family member, you might want to skip over that part when we get there. But, anyways. So, yeah, we're just going to get into it. The direction that I kind of wanted to go, I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about things that I've learned in the past 2 years. And then I want to talk about the hope. So, the biggest thing that I've learned, most of the things I've learned have been through therapy, and that is my number one suggestion. Like, I've been in therapy for a year and a half, but for like 6 months, yeah, it was 6 months, I was choosing to not go to therapy. I was also broke in college, so I couldn't afford it. But I was just choosing, like, I was like, I'm just not ready to talk about it yet. And that's okay. That's important, like, to do things on your own timeline, but there just came a point when after I moved back home, things got so bad. Like, I was just so paranoid, having so many nightmares, like, constantly. And, like, I was just in the worst spot, like, mentally I've ever been in my life. And I was like, you know what? Like, I need to go to therapy. It's time to talk about this. I took 6 months. I tried to just, like, bury it. And the whole time I knew I was going to eventually go to therapy. But I was just like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, it's on my mind 24/7. I don't want to talk about it anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I finally went to therapy, and that's where, like, the healing really started. And that seems obvious, but I learned a lot of my lessons through there, which is great. It's very important to have a therapist that you trust. Genuinely, when I was doing a therapy consultation at BYU Idaho, the lady, she had said, like, I think we should get you a male therapist because we don't want to, like, she didn't say train because she wouldn't say that, but, like, almost, we don't want you to get used to, like, being afraid of men. So let's get you, like, in talking with a man that you trust. I think that would have been the worst advice ever. Mm-hmm. Like, girl.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, I'm like, why would I want to, like, talk about, like, in detail about things that are triggering me with a man? For me personally. But anyway, so, like, find a therapist that you trust for sure, because I have a good relationship with mine and I feel really safe with her, and I've been going and seeing her for a while now, and it's great. If I didn't have a therapist that I trusted and felt comfortable with, the healing would look so different. But that's the same with, like, anything in life, like finding a good therapist.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So something that I realized in therapy is that, like, healing does take time. And again, like, these seem so obvious, but I, like, genuinely was like last year, I was like, it's been a year. Like, come on. Like, let's, like, figure this out. But honestly, like, a lot of my healing has happened in the past year. Mm-hmm. So, like, at the 1 year anniversary, it was still so raw for me.
Right. And I feel like that's normal, though, to, like, put pressure on yourself. Like, I need to go, but I really don't want to. But I know I need to go, but I literally can't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I feel like now, like, I'm feeling pretty good. And a lot of that healing has happened in the past year versus, like, the first year anniversary. And one of the things that my therapist told me is, like, time is all relative. And she really helped me learn that, like, for example, I'm not going back to school in January, and I had planned on taking a semester off, which is now, and going back in January. But with, like, my health, like, with my migraines and stuff and everything going on, I was like, no, like, I'm not going back. And when I told my therapist that, like, I was like, I'm just having such a hard time because, like, I know I need to go back and, like, get my bachelor's and all this stuff. And she told me, she was like, Haley, literally the past 2 years of your life have been so crazy. And she's like, you are still healing from this incredibly traumatic event. You need to give yourself time. Mm-hmm. And there is no rush to do anything. And that just made me feel like, you know what? Like, literally, that was the most traumatizing thing that has ever happened to me in my life. And even though it's been 2 years, like, it's still, like, affecting me. And so if I need to take things slower in life, like there's no timeline for healing, basically. And that's okay. And she really helped me realize that, because I was just feeling so much pressure. Like, I need to like next steps. I need to keep moving. I need to like keep going. I need to keep grinding, working. I need to get my degree. I need to get a good job after I graduate. I need to like start my own business because that's what I want to do. But actually, that timeline that I had, of course I'm going to cry. That timeline that I had in my life before, once I was assaulted, I literally didn't know anything anymore. I had no direction. And that was the scariest feeling because I had graduated high school early and I went to EMT school so that I could become a nurse. And that was my dream. And then after I was assaulted, I literally had no idea what I was doing with my life. And that was so hard for me because I always knew exactly what I wanted to do. I had set myself up for that since I was 17 by graduating early. And I was so like driven and motivated by that. And so it was so foreign to me to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I need to have this timeline. Like, this is what I always wanted. And so it took me like this whole 2 years to realize, like, I am finally figuring out like what I want for myself. And so like, I'm going to make that choice for myself and it doesn't have to be on anyone else's timeline. Just because I'm 20 years old, like, and I haven't gotten my bachelor's degree yet, that doesn't mean that I need to go back and do that because I'm 20 and that's what I should be doing, you know, like, because that's what I've been told my life. Doesn't mean I have to, like, I get to make my own decisions and I get to make up my own timeline. And that is just like one of the most important things that I've realized. Like, time really is relative and you get to make up your own timeline. It doesn't matter if it's been 2 years since the assault. Like, I'm still healing and I still need to take things slow. And I think that's like one of the most important things I learned.
I think that's really great advice. I've received similar, I won't go into it for myself personally, but I received similar advice from my therapist and it really helps me as well.
Like, it seems kind of obvious, but like when you have something so traumatic happen, and I know you can relate, like when you have something so traumatic happen and that's put on you, you thought your life was going to go a certain way. And then all of a sudden it's not going that way. And you're like, oh my gosh, I literally have zero direction in life. And I have so much anxiety. I'm so depressed. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. Keyword like put on you when it's like so unexpected.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is not what I imagined my life to be. And now I have to work through this and it's not even my fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing is your fault. And so now you have like this whole, like, you weren't planning for that in your life. So obviously, like, you weren't planning for the time it takes to heal and all of the mental health struggles that are going to come with it. And like maybe even like financial struggles, because like therapy is freaking expensive, you know, like all of these things you didn't plan for. So you can't beat yourself up that you're not on the same timeline as you were planning on before, because you weren't expecting that to happen. And it wasn't your fault, you know? So, and I think like a lot of people can relate to that. Like, even if you weren't raped or sexually assaulted, like a lot of people can relate to that. Like, you can relate to that. So I think that's something that's really important. Do you have anything else you want to like say on that?
No, I think that's really great advice. Cause it also comes down to like just letting go of like people's opinions about you and like what you should be doing. And it, this kind of relates to our last episode about like, we have free will. Like, it's all our own choices.
Yeah, exactly. And like for me, there's like a lot of anxiety about making my own choices still. And I'll get into that a little bit more. But like, it is, it's amazing to like, once you can like let go of what other people are going to think, like people who truly love you are going to love you no matter what and are going to understand that. And for me, I'm like, oh no, like I need to do all this. Like, I need to go back to school. And I was so nervous to tell the family. Everyone was like, that makes total sense. Like, do what you need to do. You're 20 years old. You can go back to school later. You know, like, it's not the most important thing. Like, prioritizing your mental and physical health is the most important thing. So that was something that was really important. I also think, like, I learned to distance myself from triggers, which, again, seems obvious. But, like, even though, like, for me, my triggers are honestly, like, the Mormon church. And like the whole like the patriarchy of it all, and also like BYU Idaho and the city that I was in, that's a big trigger. So I distanced myself from that, and not everyone is able to do that. I'm lucky enough that I was able to do that. So that was a big deal, like moving back home, moving away, and then leaving the church was really empowering. And I'm actually in the process right now. I'm trying to get my records like removed from the LDS church. And that to me, I feel like I'm taking my power back because like I am no, once I get the letter that like I'm officially removed, that's like your baptism has been removed. And it says like all of your temple blessings and stuff are revoked. So it's almost like you never were in it. Mm-hmm. And that is empowering to me because I'm like, the church chose to protect this guy and they choose to protect so many assaulters. And so by me saying like, you don't get the privilege of having me in your organization or even knowing that I existed in your organization, like I'm fully removing myself. And that is a big step of me taking back my power.
And not only do they protect the assaulters, they like put them on a pedestal. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you are still worthy of the priesthood. You didn't do anything wrong. You just need to talk to your bishop and repent and you're going to be fine.
Well, and for me, like I was like the men in the church hold the priesthood and it's like these special powers. I don't even know how to explain it. But
yeah, it's like a God-given
power. But only the men get it. And when I like went to report it, they told me like, we talked to his bishop and he said he's a worthy priesthood holder. So when that is literally the reasoning given to me, like, no, he's a priesthood holder. Like he would never do that. And he is put up on a pedestal for simply being a man and lying. Like they are protecting and they are putting him up on a pedestal. So for me, that is a way for me to take back my power and distance myself from something that's extremely triggering to me. And I'm not saying like if you leave the church, you should get your records removed. But for me, that's empowering. And I'm excited to finally do it. I have to go get this paper notarized. But once I get that letter, like I think it'll be a big deal of me taking back my power, which is great. So maybe like taking back your power looks different than getting your records removed from a church. But I think like doing what makes you feel empowered and trying to distance yourself from triggers if possible, that's going to be so beneficial. And like, I'm still figuring out things that trigger me 2 years later, you know? So like, it's going to come in waves and like, you're going to figure out like, oh, this is a trigger for me. Like, and there might be some things you can distance yourself from and some things you can't, but like, you'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. That's really great advice as well.
Another thing that I learned, and this is the most important thing that I learned. After I was assaulted, I fell back into an extremely toxic relationship. Like, very, very bad. And it was because, like, this relationship was very on and off. And so we had broken up and gotten back together many times. But we had broken up in like October. I got assaulted in November. And then my assaulter reached out to my ex and was like, she's spreading lies about you and saying that you're this and this and this, trying to get people on his side. So like very creepy that he like stalked my Instagram. Mm-hmm. But then after that, my ex reached out to me and was like, hey, why are you spreading lies about me? And I was like, actually, like that guy just sexually assaulted me and I have an open police case against him. And of course, when I told him that, he was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so sorry. And immediately he was nice to me. Like any human that cares or cared about you would have like that reaction. Like, I'm so sorry that happened. So because like he was someone that I like really cared about and I thought I loved, that's not what love is, but like I thought I loved him. So I was like, oh my gosh, like he's being so nice to me and he's so concerned and like showing that he's caring, like he's calling and checking up on me. Like that's so sweet and kind of him. Like he cares so much. When really that's like a normal human reaction. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I personally think that I was almost like, I know a trauma bond is like not the right term for it, but I think like I was so attached to him because I became attached to him in this traumatic time of my life. Mm-hmm. Because he was a man who showed me 1 ounce of kindness. Mm-hmm. And so I just got so attached. And that caused me to overlook all of this negative stuff that he did. Like, actually, like, going on dating apps when we were together. And, like, talking to other girls. And just,
literally
like,
cheating.
Yeah. Like, and, like, just being so... And I won't get into it, but, like, it was a very toxic relationship. And... I overlooked a lot of those things because I was like, no, like he was there for me in my moment of like the worst pain of my life. When was he really there for me? No. He called me a few times to check up on me, but I was so vulnerable. So I just like attached to him. And I just like, that's my biggest warning to like, be careful after, if something is were to happen to you, be careful of like the relationships that you choose to have and the people that you associate with afterwards, because those people need to be lifting you up in like the most kind ways possible and they need to be there for you. But it is very easy to be manipulated and taken advantage of when you're in such a vulnerable spot. Mm-hmm. And that is how that whole relationship was so toxic. And I also was in like another situation that I'm not going to get into, but like I have never said this, but like I was coerced into doing things that I didn't want to do physically. And it was a very scary situation. And that was a few months after like my first assault. And coercion is assault. Mm-hmm. Like, I did a lot of things with someone that I did not want to do. But I was very scared and, like, extremely vulnerable. And so I did those things. And I did them because I allowed myself to be in this position because I was so vulnerable after the assault. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, desperately seeking, like, not validation, but, like, I was just desperately seeking to see the good in men and to find some sort of connection that was healthy. And because of that, I was in like a dangerous spot. And that's terrifying to me to think about. And like, I have like talked about that in therapy too. And that's like, it's scary to think about like the position that I was in with that situation, with that person. And also like with my ex that was extremely toxic, like those relationships caused a lot of damage that I've also gone to therapy for because I was just in such a vulnerable spot. So I just wish that like someone would have warned me about that before, because you just are so vulnerable. And just be careful of like who you choose to associate yourself with, because you're just very easily manipulated. At least I was. But like, who wouldn't be in that situation? Like, mm-hmm. You're desperately just like trying to find the good in people and to like have just a healthy connection. And when you're trying to find that and you're also trying to heal from something that is really bad that just happened to you and you didn't get justice for, it's just a bad spot. Mm-hmm. So those are the things I learned. That last one I think is like the most important. It's very heavy, but it's definitely the most important. On a happier note, we're going into some hope. because there really is hope. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, right? I want to like stress, especially like after that very toxic relationship, like after the assault and then after that toxic relationship that I allowed to be so toxic because of the assault, I genuinely was like, I am never going to be like in a healthy relationship. And like, I literally was like, I need to lower my standards because they are too high. Like, I literally said that out loud. And now I look at myself and I just wish that I could go back to like the girl that was literally so hopeless, because I genuinely thought like, I am never going to find something healthy. Like, I'm too damaged and too broken because of what's happened to me to really find like real happiness and love. And I think about myself now and like all of the work I've put in, and I found like the most amazing man and I'm so happy and in love. And that is because I put in the work. So not to say that like, oh, it just like, I just found someone and like fell in love and like, it's all great now. Like, there are still triggers. There are still hard things. Like, it's obviously still hard for me to talk about, but because I decided to go to therapy and really like confront my triggers and do like some very like hardcore therapy, like deep, deep therapy. Like, because I did that, I put in the work. I've been able to work through like really hard triggers, and I was open to receiving love. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be ready. And like, I wouldn't be as happy as I am now. I wouldn't be able to give Tyler the love that he deserves. And it would be hard for him to give me the love that I deserve because I wouldn't be open to that, you know? So I am very happy now, but it is work. It's hard work. But yeah, like, I just want to say, like, there is hope for a very healthy relationship afterwards. Like, you are not broken. You are not damaged. Like, you are not what happened to you. you are who you are as a person. Like, you're everything that you have to offer the world, like all of your potential, the things that you love to do, like all, like your favorite food, like your favorite music, like how you get when you're like listening to your favorite song in the car with your friends. Like, that's who you are. You are not what happened to you, what someone chose to put on you, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's hope for healthy relationships if you put in the work and like really do your part to heal. And it's hard. It really is hard work, but it's worth it. Along with relationships, I think the biggest aspect is like intimacy after sexual assault or rape. So this is where if your family, you might just want to skip ahead a little bit because I'm going to kind of go into detail. But obviously, like, sexual assault and rape is like very invasive, and I really thought like, oh my gosh, like I'm never even gonna be able to kiss someone again because I'm gonna be so scared. But genuinely, like, for me, some people like can do hookup culture. I can't. So for me, this is all for me personally, I could never do that. And I also only have had sex with two people in my life. One was that very toxic relationship, and the other is Tyler. And the toxic relationship, like, that was not healthy sex. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that because my interactions before had been unhealthy as well. So, and, like, it never felt right with the other person. But with Tyler, I just felt immediately so comfortable, and I never felt scared. Like, before, I would, like, kiss other people, like, on a date or something. And I always, in my head, was like, I'm scared they're going to do something to me. Like, it was always a thought with every single person that I kissed, like, since the assault or did anything with. With Tyler, not once did I have that thought. Like, I literally just felt so safe immediately. And he kissed me on the first date, and I just felt so safe. And so I think, like, for me personally, I have to feel so comfortable with someone. And I immediately felt that with Tyler. And I literally never thought in my life that I would, like, do anything intimate with someone without having that fear of, like, what if they do something to me? But it was never even a thought with Tyler. So that's how I know that, like, I really do feel comfortable with him. And I have since the very first date, because that was never even a thought when we were kissing, you know? So if that's something you struggle with, like, you will find that right person where it just feels so comfortable with, and you don't even have to have any worries. If that's not your issue, then good for you. But if it is, like, there is hope for that, because that's how I felt. I was feeling so discouraged. I was like, I am never going to just not be scared. But it was never, I never even had like a scared thought with Tyler, which is great.
That is really good.
And also, like, obviously, like, with any, like, any sex, you need to communicate, but especially if you are a survivor of sexual assault or sexual violence, like, of any kind, communication is going to be key. And your partner needs to understand that as well. Like, they need to understand your needs and your triggers. So, like, if there is something very specific, like a specific position that is triggering to you, they need to understand that. For me, there's nothing in that manner, like position or like certain type of setting, like nothing like that is triggering to me. So I don't have to communicate about that. But for me, like, just a specific example, my assault took place, like, very early in the morning. I think it was around, like, 4 a.m. I don't know because I was drugged, but it was, like, around that timeline. And so it was dark out, and that was the timeline. And a few weeks ago, I realized, like, that, like, having sex at that time right now, that is triggering to me. And, like, I kind of had a breakdown, like, one morning about it, and Tyler was so good and, like, so sweet and just, like, was totally there for me and totally understood. But afterwards, like, we talked about it, and I was, like, we talked about this, like, a few weeks later, and I was, like, having sex in the middle of the night right now for me is gonna be triggering, so we can't do that. And he was, like, okay, like, I totally get it. Like, if you ever want to, like, tell me, but I totally get it. And that's fine. Like, that was it. And that's how simple a conversation should be. It shouldn't be like, well, why? Or like, really? Like, I love that position. You know, like, it shouldn't be like that. It should be like, okay, you're not comfortable with that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. So that was like one specific example that I wanted to share. Cause I just thought, like, you know, like, there could be some weird triggers that you might not think about, like, the time of day or, like, in the middle of the night, like, in a specific place, in a specific position, like, with a specific mute type of music playing, you know what I'm saying? Like, that you might not think about, but communication is just key. And everyone knows that with sex, but, like, that is really key. The other specific thing I want to share is that I had never – this is very personal, but it's the most important thing in my opinion. I had never had an orgasm, and I was triggered at one point because I had never experienced that before, and so I felt like I was close at one point with Tyler, and this is very personal, but I think it's so important. I'd never experienced that with Tyler before or on my own. And so I got really triggered, like, when I felt like I was about to, and it was so bad. Like, I was just, like, really in bad shape. And the next day I had therapy, and I told her about that, and she was like, it's probably because you've never experienced that on your own, and you need to know what that feels like on your own. And so she was like, go get a vibrator and, like, spend time by yourself and figure out what you like. And for me, like, in my other relationship, like, obviously I said, like, the sex was, like, unhealthy. Like, he didn't care about anything but himself. So I, like, didn't think, like, oh, I'm a priority too. Like, I should feel good too. So I never even thought about that. But after that, like, that was really great advice from my therapist to, like, know what you like, because – and maybe you already do know what you like, but for me, like, I didn't. And there was still a lot of shame with, like, the purity culture and, like, you know, growing up Mormon and everything. So I just had never thought about that. But for me, I was like, oh, it makes me feel better to have sex with someone else because I know what I feel comfortable with and, like, what feels safe for me.
And it's also, like, you're trying it the first time in somewhere that you feel safe.
Right.
Like, you're all alone.
Exactly.
So it's, like you don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah, there's no judgment. There's no, like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Like, nothing. And honestly, like, that was very personal of me to share.
I was like, oh, you went there. Okay.
But the thing is, like, I think it's so important. Like,
it is really important.
I just think it really is important. And it's hard to experience pleasure, like, sexual pleasure, after that happens. So, like, for me, it was, like, all these blocks. Like, I never had an orgasm. Like, I didn't have healthy sex before. You know, purity culture, like, all of these things working against me. And so I was like, I need to slow down and, like, focus on myself first. And then I'm able to, like, be there with someone else. Mm-hmm. So that was really good advice that she gave me. Like, figure out what you like. And that might be obvious, but I just think it was really important in my journey. Okay. Another thing that I want to say, I'm almost done here, but another thing that I want to say, like, to give people hope is that the biggest thing that I struggled with was anger and being really angry about what happened to me and the institutions that protected the assaulter and, like, me not getting justice, everything like that. But I feel like I can say, like, obviously, like, I still have moments of anger, but that was the biggest thing holding me back. Like, I was, like, very angry. And at this point, I feel like I've come to a place where I'm not so angry anymore. Obviously, like I said, there's going to be times where I'm, like, really mad about it, but I'm not mad all the time about it anymore. Like, I'm moving on, and I feel like I'm just, like, growing so much. And so that's a really big deal for me to, like, know that I'm not just, like, so enveloped in anger anymore. So I think there's hope for, like, healing from, like, the things that are hardest about that situation for you. Like, there really is hope. Things will get better. You will feel better eventually, and you'll learn how to work with certain things that come your way. And some things you just have to accept. Like, you're never going to get over them. But anger was the biggest thing for me, and I feel like I'm not so angry anymore, which is a big deal. And that's great.
That is a big deal, because you also did come to the realization that that was what was holding you back. Mm-hmm. And so you realize, like, if I want to move forward, mm-hmm. I have to address this.
Right. Right. Because, like, yeah, of course, there's so many people in my life that are angry about that too. And, like, I'm angry. But at this point, there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it legally. I'm doing everything I can to distance myself from things that trigger me. I'm no longer, like, anywhere near this person. So there's no way. Like, I've protected myself online and everything and done everything I can. There's nothing I can do to change the situation. So in therapy, I've worked through it and I'm not so angry anymore. And that's great. Because, yeah, like you said, like, you're not going to be able to change it. Mm-mm. And so, like, I think, like, when you realize, like, oh, like, the biggest thing that was holding me back, finally I'm not letting that affect me as much anymore. And that's also taking your power back. Like, the hurt and pain that this person put on me is I'm no longer so angry. And it really isn't holding me back as much anymore, which is great. So I think that is really important. And I just think overall, like, the last thing I wanted to say, I really wanted to focus on, like, sharing the things that I learned, because I think those are really important things. But I just think that, like, the last thing I wanted to say was just, there really is hope. The title of this episode. Healing from any sort of, like, big trauma in your life, especially if it's trauma that is put on you, whether that's, like, being diagnosed with an illness or, you know, sexual assault or rape, like, anything that is put on you, I feel like that is almost, like, the hardest type of trauma, because you didn't choose that. Mm-hmm. It is the hardest type of trauma, in my opinion. You didn't choose to have that put on you. And now you're the one having to deal with the consequences for somebody else's actions while they're just, like, roaming free. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to, like, grasp and try to get over, but there really is hope. Like, go to therapy, associate with positive people, people who are going to lift you up and love you. Take it slow. There is no timeline for healing. If I was sitting here in 5 years from now and saying, I'm finally not angry anymore, or 10 years or 20 years from now, that's my own timeline. You know, maybe I'm angry about it for the rest of my life. That's my timeline. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. And I just think, like, there is so much beauty and power in realizing that you are the one in control of your own life. You can make your own decisions. Just because someone took away this big thing from you and put these actions on you doesn't mean that all of the decisions you make then going forward are wrong. Because I really did blame myself for a little bit. Like, I should have known. I shouldn't have put myself in this position. But it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. It was some evil person who was sick enough to do that to someone else and other girls too. And that has nothing to do with me. I just happened to be the one that he chose that night, you know? Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with the choices that I made in the past, or in that moment, or the choices I'm making now. And I just think that's so important. Like, realize it is not your fault. And just do everything you can to move forward on your own timeline, in your own way, and you can still live, like, an amazing and happy life. You can still have good relationships. Like, I had a hard time trusting men before, even men that I really trusted, like, that I had known my whole life, you know, or, like, a long time. I had a hard time trusting them after that, and now I don't get as nervous like that anymore, especially with the people that I already trust. No, like, I'm fine now, and it's not so much of a thought with other men. You know what I'm saying? Like, there really is so much hope. And that's really all I can say about it. I feel like I'm kind of rambling on at this point, but I just really want to solidify, because a year ago or 2 years ago when this happened to me, I genuinely was so hopeless. And I genuinely, like, did not know what I was going to be doing with my life, because this, I never thought it would happen to me. And all of a sudden it did. And now I'm like thinking, where's my life going now? And so, like, I just wish I could tell that person, that, like, that girl who was, you know, there, sitting there trying to figure out if she should report it to the police, like, 2 years ago. I just wish I could tell her, like, you're going to report it. You're not going to get justice, but you're going to survive. Like, you're going to be okay. You're going to have so many people around you that love you. You're going to be in such a healthy relationship, and you're going to be mm-hmm. so happy with the guy that you're dating, and he's going to be so understanding and so loving and so kind if you have triggers that pop up, or if you're just, like, not feeling it that day, like, you're having a hard time. Like, he's going to love you and put his arms around you and just be there. Mm-hmm. And your family is going to be so supportive, and, like, you're going to do other things in life, even though it's not what you planned. You're going to do other things that are so amazing that you never would have even thought about before, you know? Like, there's a plan for everything, and you are not what happened to you. And I just think that's the most important thing that I wanted to share.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. I really think it'll help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Because you're also, like, speaking to yourself in the past. Yeah. You know, and, like, what you said this in the beginning. Like, what you wish you would have had resources for.
Right.
And things that you wish you would have heard in that moment and even, like, a year ago. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to, like, still speak out about it. Mm-hmm. And because you're bringing awareness to it. And especially, right. like, with the school. Like, you're still talking about how the school didn't protect you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, obviously there are some things that I talked about that are a little uncomfortable, but again, like, I just never found resources about that. Like, I know I'm not the only woman that never had an orgasm, and so, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I know I'm not the only girl, so, like, I just think I wanted to talk about some things that, like, are a little uncomfortable, and it's kind of awkward when you're the one saying it, but it's helpful. It really is helpful to hear, and I was desperately trying to find resources because I genuinely was, like, oh my gosh, like, what's wrong with me? Like, I have all these things working against me. Like, and I just was trying to find resources. Like, I literally was Googling, couldn't find any. And so I think it's important. So, like, if you can share your experiences, they're going to help someone. And that's what we try and do on this podcast. So mm-hmm. thank you guys so much for your support ahead of time. And again, I really hope that you found something that might help you during this episode.
As always, please follow us on Instagram at Real Talk About Feminism Pod, all of our socials, and our email newsletter. All those links are in our show notes, so please check those out, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.